It's time for Real Money with David Holland. Because David isn't just a radio personality, but also provides financial advice to clients, we must pause for a word from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation, and engagement of services to be offered are only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.
Welcome to Real Money with David Holland, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. And now for the man who doesn't preach about cutting up credit cards, doesn't waste your time talking about which razor blades to buy, won't tell you to sell everything you own and buy gold, or ever use big words to impress you and talk over your head. Ladies and gentlemen, here he is, David Holland.
Welcome to the program. No razor blades, no big words, no preaching, no cutting up credit cards. But we do have the infamous Scott Connor.
The fastest 5 minutes in finance with Scott Connor.
Cutting to the chase, man. Got a lot to do.
I do want to tell you that I was at the grocery store yesterday, and I have a new disposable razor that I use on occasion when I don't feel like using my electric. And a 5-pack of replacement blades for this particular razor is $30.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm really seriously considering getting a straight razor. You know, in fact, Pat, you saw Pat's new haircut.
Yeah, she looks terrific.
It's cute. I love it. Well, I told her that if she's going to keep a short haircut like that, we're going to have to keep it trimmed in the back. Lisa shaking her head. I'm going to get in trouble for this, because Pat does religiously listen to the show. But anyway, let's get to the serious
business at hand.
Let's do. But I'm going to get the straight razor and we'll try it out.
Wednesday's market was really similar to Tuesday's market. It was gruesome to start. The Dow was down 180 points. The S&P was actually down about 20 points at one point. But after the European markets closed, they fought their way back. Dow ended up down 88 points. S&P down 8 points. NASDAQ down 10 points. More weakness in the commodities markets. Gold off another $13.
It could simply be that people had their cup of Green Mountain coffee and Krispy Kreme.
Yeah, I'm going to get to that one.
That made them feel better.
I'll get to that one just as a warning against concentrated positions, which we've talked about a number of times. Tens at 184 today. I'm not too worried about that. There's a lot of money going into tens, but they did do an auction for 10-year treasuries on Wednesday, $24 billion auction. The auction yield came in at 1.855 with a bid to cover at 3, which means there was a lot of demand.
That was going to be my question. I figured it was pretty high, so that's good. That's good to know.
Yeah, we'll take that. No problem there. The board of the European Financial Stability Facility, a.k.a. bailout, agreed to make a 5.2 billion euro payment in emergency aid to Greece. It's becoming less and less likely that Greece is going to stay on track with their bailout payments, as they still have no government.
They were for the bailout before they were against the bailout.
They're against the bailout now, for sure. So we'll see.
Wouldn't that be cool in life to say, I know I owe you that money, but that's not me. That's not the person you see before you. That's my old me.
Yeah, well, but they already did that. Yeah. They said, now my new me will pay you half.
Right.
And now they're saying my new me won't pay you at all.
This is like that movie. What was it? Multiplicity with Michael Keaton, and he had like all these copies of himself. So Greece has got all these copies of themselves that none of them want to pay the bills.
Yeah, well, it's a mess. And Spain is not any better either. Spain will require, the government of Spain is requiring its banks to set aside $45 billion against loans to builders as they are going through a really difficult time with the stock market. The stock market hit a new 9-year low on Wednesday. The housing market is in the process of imploding, which is why they're forcing the banks to set money aside. But as they set some money aside, they can't loan that money out. And so, it's a downward spiral.
I wish we're going to have to get a video camera so that everybody can see how vigorously I'm shaking my head side to side. It's just not going to work.
Yeah, it's not going to work. Corporate news today. Disney reported stronger revenue and forecast, beating profits for the second quarter. So that's good news. About 6 different brokerage companies, meaningful ones, raised their price target for Disney. So that's good news for Disney shareholders. Macy's beat their earnings expectations. So spending continues to take place. And Toyota came out and said, hey, whatever your earnings expectations are for us, triple it because we're killing
really?
It.
Really? Wow. That's
pretty. Well, yeah, but remember that last year they were going through the tsunami and all their earnings expectations got pushed all the way down to the floor.
Which one got in trouble with the sticking gas pedals?
I think that was Toyota.
Yeah, yeah, it was Toyota. So they're saying put pedal to the metal, hold it there.
That's right, and hold it there.
Sorry, that was not good.
And economic news, not much happened on Wednesday. Wholesale inventories rose 0.3%. That was a little less than expected, but it's not a terribly meaningful report. Later on this week, Thursday, of course, we get the jobless claims number. Friday, we get producer price index and consumer sentiment, so we're looking forward to that. I have a little bit of mergers and acquisitions news with a local flair to it.
Go right ahead. I'm all ears.
World Market, you know, there's a World Market over on International Speedway here in Daytona Beach, has been purchased. The entire chain has been purchased by Bed Bath & Beyond.
Really? Now, that's interesting.
Bed Bath & Beyond is really one of the only big box retailers that really seems to be well-managed. They do some things differently there. They allow the purchasers to take place at a local level, so they're trying to make their local consumers happy. They're growing from a standpoint of acquisition rather than just building stores like crazy. They have recently purchased a personal care retailer called Harmon. They bought the Christmas tree stores, and they bought a superstore called Bye Bye Baby. And by all accounts, they are integrating those businesses nicely.
That's good news. You know, real quick, I think that's good. What one of their things is they have the blue and white coupon they send in the mail that lets you take your own 20% off. And World Market has some of the best beer choices. Not that I'm very familiar with it.
But,
and wine, good choices. So if I can apply that blue and white discount card that comes in the mail against my beer and wine, that's a good package deal.
Yep. And then one last thing I want to tell you about real quick. We talk a lot about the dangers of concentration in an individual equity. Well, here's the guy, Robert Stiller. He's the founder of Green Mountain Coffee Roasters, which has been a remarkably volatile stock for a coffee stock. But he basically has been paid all this time in Green Mountain Coffee stock. He's been borrowing against that stock to get the cash. And of course, the stock has been really selling off. It's off about 50% over the last handful of months. So what happens when you borrow money against stock, you have to have a certain level of collateral against that loan. When the stock value comes down, your brokerage calls and says, hey, you don't have enough value
against
this loan.
Give me cash or I got to liquidate.
We need cash or we have to liquidate. So the brokerage had to liquidate because he didn't have the cash. He's on the board, and they were in a trading blackout period at the time. So he has been removed from the board because he couldn't come up with cash to cover the money that he borrowed against his concentrated position in his stock.
And now he has no money for Krispy Kreme and his
cup of coffee. He tried to raise the money by selling Krispy Kreme. He owns 12% of Krispy Kreme.
Holy moly.
But Krispy Kreme's had a terrible time as well. So, you know, it's just a rough day for Mr. Stiller.
All right. So you made the point, diversification, diversification, diversification.
And don't borrow.
Don't borrow against your money you have invested in the market. Yeah. Okay, Scott. Well, thank you very much. Get to those portfolios. We're going to get on with the rest of the show. Thanks for being with us.
All right.
And we have a special guest after the break. Stay tuned.
Have you noticed most of the financial literature available is either so specific it doesn't apply or too generic to answer even the most basic questions? This revelation inspired David Holland to write his first two books, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, and How to Get Great Advice and Avoid Financial Scams. These how-to guides contain easily accessible information on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finances. An effortless weekend read, you'll find clarification on what a mutual fund is, how to choose the right financial professional, and much more. Call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN to request a free excerpt from David's first book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. The number again is 888-747-7526. Or visit davidholland.com for more information on this innovative book series.
All right, welcome back to the program, ladies and gentlemen. We have a special guest on the line with us, Mr. Daniel Weber, founder and president of the Association of Mature American Citizens. Dan, welcome to the program.
Pleasure to be on your show, David.
This is a treat. I told Dan before we started, I'd read his resume and I looked at what this organization's all about. And I said, I feel like I'm going to be talking to an old friend.
Yeah, I feel the same way. And I love the work that you're doing for everybody out there.
Well, thank you very much. Okay, so let's get right to it. You have, and we're going to get a little bit of your background, but let's tell people why you're on the program today. You have an organization that you have formed, this Association of Mature American Citizens. And tell us what that's all about.
Okay, we're the conservative alternative to AARP. AARP, as you know, David, started out as a venerable organization. They did a lot for people. They actually started out by a teacher who was taking care of retired teachers who couldn't get health insurance. And then they were giving benefits for retired teachers, and other people who weren't teachers said, well, can we get them? And that's how AARP started. Unfortunately, about 20 years ago, they started taking a sharp turn to the left. For example, recently they supported Obamacare, and they just have been a big disappointment when it comes to things like Social Security.
Yeah, a lot of people, I think, don't really fully realize that not-for-profit and other organizations can become very politically involved and may or may not be representing their membership.
Yeah, we were surprised, David, when AARP supported Obamacare without bothering to take a poll of their members. According to a Gallup poll at that time, people 65 years in age and older, 85% were very happy with their present health insurance and didn't want to change.
Well,
so it's kind of surprising that they did that.
You can read the bill after you sign it, right, Dan?
Okay. We've heard
so,
that, right?
Yeah. So this is this organization, and it, you have the acronym AMAC.
AMAC.
And so AMAC, the website is www.amac.us. AMAC.us. That's your website. It's an easy search. I did a quick search and I found you on the internet, nothing flat. And so this is an alternative for people to have a voice or a representation with people that have a more conservative values and a more conservative fiscal outlook and the direction for our country. And they can get a whole package of benefits, right, from your organization.
That's correct. We have discounted auto insurance. We have things like the health care plan, supplement to Medicare, and all sorts of things. We even have shopping online where people can use our portal to access any one of the 500 major stores in America, and they wind up getting money back of like 2 to 4% back whenever they make a purchase.
Okay, so this isn't just a way for people to quote-unquote vent any, you know, of their political views. This is a real membership program. This is a viable and solid alternative to what AARP offers.
Right. We just opened up a road service program today, believe it or not.
How about that? Well, that's perfect timing. But the key thing for our listeners to understand is this is a way for them to know that their benefits they're getting are aligned with what they want their organization telling Washington.
Exactly. Because we take polls of our people, and we fight for our people. David, I don't know if you're... I know you're aware, but I don't know if your audience is aware that one out of three people, for example, pay a tax on their Social Security income.
A lot of my clients are very aware of that, and a lot of people, I think, are more and more aware. And you know, it's there's a lot of questions that I know people need to be thinking about over the next 6 months, especially as we enter the heavy-duty political season. And I've been reporting and talking about it and trying to strip out the politics and tell people what's really going on with jobs and the economy and where we're headed. And I know one of the things that what we'll get to in just a minute is the taxation, but we're going to take a break. And when we come back, Dan, I want you to tell people a little bit more about where we're going here and why they need to get involved and have the right kind of membership with your AMAC organization. So hold the line.
Great.
We'll be right back.
Thank you.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Holland Financial is ready to help. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free consultation or visit us at davidholland.com.
Okay, we're back. Dan, you there?
Yes, I
there
sure
you are.
Am.
Okay, you know, I dove right in because I was kind of excited to introduce your organization. Let me do my proper manners here. And Daniel Weber's on the line with us. He is the president and founder of AMAC, Association of Mature American Citizens, and this is a viable, more conservative alternative to AARP. But Dan, give people a quick rundown on your background because I read your resume and I'm impressed. And thank you for the service to our country.
Okay, appreciate that. Yeah, joined the Air Force right after graduating from high school. I was able to attend the State University at Plattsburgh, New York, and then we opened up an insurance agency, And my wife worked in the business, and we have three kids now that have taken over the business. So we went into a semi-retirement mode, and I said to my bride, I said, well, what can I do now that I'm retired? You know, I still want to keep the gray matter working. And the more I thought about it, the more I realized that ARP was a big disappointment. In a sense, like the mainstream media, they were actually brainwashing the public to a great extent by not reporting the complete story and not reporting the full picture and slanting it. For example, they favored more government control of things like medical care and other issues. And I thought they were wrong, and I said, well, it's about time we try to do something about it. So I joined a couple other organizations that said they represented seniors and were conservative, but they didn't do anything. So in 2007, we actually launched. We had 5,000 members after a year, and now, thank God, we have 325,000, and we're growing at about 10,000 members a month.
Wow. Okay, you blow me away, Dan. I did not know your membership was up to that level already.
Yeah, in Florida alone, we have 17,000 members.
Wow. Okay, I'm excited now. I'm excited because, you know, and I told you before we started the program, and I don't mind telling our listeners, they know I'm a bit of an advocate for, you know, the truth and being straight about stuff. And one of the things I fight, and, you know, of course, you're speaking to a lot of the spin that goes on in the politics. One of the things I have to deal with is the spin that goes on in financial services.
Right.
And, you know, I was pretty disappointed recently with an article that appeared in the AARP magazine that was written by a financial person, and it just slammed certified financial planners like me. And I said, excuse me, I beg your pardon. And so they're not real friendly to people actually providing financial.
No, that's like slamming a doctor who's a specialist.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's ridiculous. They whoever wrote that article cannot have any comprehension of what it folks like you do. I mean, it's so complicated. You know, today's financial world and tax consequences and, you know, what's really good. And as you know, every one of us is different when it comes to our finances. So you can't have a cookie-cutter approach. It's ridiculous.
I've worked with hundreds of retirees, Dan, and not one plan has ever been the same.
Yeah, and for them to slam you like that is terrible. It's like saying, hey, don't see this specialist. Oh, you got a heart problem? Well, no, your general practitioner can take care of you.
Oh,
go to a clinic.
Yeah, don't even get me going there.
Yeah.
Well, we mentioned taxes, and I want to get to that. And I read one of the things that you had written in an article, and I said, Dan's got it right. But one of the things I think, and I'm speaking also as a small business owner, and you've been there and you've done the same, in business, what is the number one thing we hate? Uncertainty, right?
That's correct.
When we're running a business, you want to try to deal with as many things you can and try to make as many things certain as possible. So you measure your risk and make changes and you make calculated bets on what you want to do going forward. This tax football that's hanging out there that, you know, unless everybody can get on the same page, everything reverts and we see marginal tax brackets go all the way up to effective bracket going up to 43% come January 1st.
Right.
And that, I think, is causing a lot of small business owners to hesitate and hold off, and even bigger businesses hold off on making hiring decisions. What do you say to that?
Well, you know, it's really interesting. I know a lot of small business owners, and one gentleman said, you know, what really burns me up is that my income tax shows that I made $250,000, and he said, I only made $150,000. I said, what? What are you talking about? He said, well, in my business, I have to buy an inventory.
Sure.
And he said, and I have a high payroll. He had a lot of people on payroll, and he made a very small margin on what all of those folks did. So he has to reserve a month's payroll and a month's inventory. So, for example, in December of the year, he has January's payroll saved up.
He's got to eat the banana to have that money in reserve so he can pay his people.
Exactly. But when he does his income tax, that shows that money, because he's a sub S, it shows that money's in his bank account.
Right.
He's got to pay tax on that money as if he put it in his pocket. And people say, yeah, you get the discount or the tax deduction, I should say, the following year. He said, yeah, but I got to do the same thing in January, you know,
well,
for next year.
It's crazy. I did the calculation the other day. You know, I'm a CPA by training, and I did this calculation the other day, and I figured out a small business owner who's got, you know, a staff of 10 and some reasonably paid people ends up, you know, paying a couple $100,000 in taxes just to be able to draw a decent living for himself, because he's really paying for all these other people's taxes.
That's exactly right. And that's something when, you know, the president and some of his folks get out there and they talk about people doing those things. I say, hey, they don't understand how the economy works.
Well, and they don't understand how business works.
Yeah, and see how many of them ever worked in business.
Well, you know, speaking of somebody, I don't know if he's ever worked in business, but he just wrote a book, and I'm going to take a chance here and mention a name to you, Paul Krugman, who is self-described very liberal when it comes to fiscal policy. I don't know where he is socially, and I don't really care, to be honest with you, but the fiscal policy, you know what his solution is in his book? He says, we can fix this real quick. We can fix our economy. The federal government needs to just borrow a whole bunch more money, jack up the deficit even higher, and spend it, because the problem in America is not enough demand for goods and services. So the government needs to jack the deficit through the roof and spend all this money. And I read that and I said to myself, well, wait a minute. If we're going to increase the deficit, why don't you just cut taxes and send that money to me? Let me keep that money and I will decide how I want to spend it.
You know, when they gave out the $1 trillion, I don't know what you want to call a handout, when they gave Salinger $500 million and they gave out all those millions to people, to companies, just to stimulate, they called it a stimulus, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And there were some congressmen that said, hey, wait a minute, if we just gave every American family $25,000, that would give them as much money as the stimulus. But what were they going to do with the money? Well, sure, they'd pay off some bills. But then they'd go out and buy things.
Exactly. Well,
and I'm thinking, you know, that makes sense to me.
Well, and I think that's really the fundamental thing, and I'm sure that this is embodied in much of what your organization, Association of Matured American Citizens, AMAC, what this organization is about is really embracing this more personal freedom issue. And if we're going to increase the deficit, then I'd rather it be us, the citizens, spending the money instead of the government deciding how to spend it.
Exactly right. You know, we helped out a couple of our grandkids for college, you know, just helped them out a little bit. You know, we had a grandson who was studying the violin, is now a professional violinist. We bought him a violin when he needed to, you know, step up. You got to get a much better violin. And we paid for things like that. And I said to Judy, my wife, I said, you know, it's not fair that the government thinks they should take more of my money. You know, I'll tell you a little aside, David. We have a cabin up in the mountains that I helped build, and one of the workers was working with me, and he said, Dan, you have a house in Florida, too. I said, yeah. He said, how do you afford two houses like this? I said, it's a secret. I said, you just work half a day, 6 days a week. And I said, he said, you mean I just got to work a half a day, but 6 days a week? And I said, if you work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, doing practically anything, you'd make a lot of money.
Exactly. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we have Daniel Weber, founder, president of the Association of Mature American Citizens, a conservative alternative to the AARP. A lot of good stuff here. And member benefits, a whole package of things that people can take advantage of. Now, I want to take a quick break. When we come back, I want you to talk a little bit more about how people can get involved, how they can sign up. And website is www.amac.us. Stay on the line, Dan. And ladies and gentlemen, don't go away. We'll be right back.
There are hundreds of annuities available in today's marketplace. How can you know if one is right for you? Certified financial planner David Holland answers this question and more in his educational booklet on annuities. To get your free copy, call Holland Financial at 888-747-PLAN. The annuity booklet provides a plain English explanation of the different types of annuities so you can decide if one is a good fit for your situation. Again, that number is 888-747-7526.
Okay, we're back with Daniel Weber, president, founder of the Association of Mature American Citizens, AMAC, website www.amac.us. And so, Dan, people can go to that website and sign up.
That's right. And when we're only $16 a year for member and spouse.
Okay, here's a real question I got to ask you. That's fantastic that this organization is focused on really helping people that are 50 years of age and older.
Right.
Can you sneak me in? Can I get in? Because I'm a little younger than that.
Actually, anyone can join, David.
Oh, cool.
But the benefits are geared to people 50 and older.
All right.
Anyone can do it. Matter of fact, we have about 20% of our members are under age 50.
Well, and I went down the list of, you know, the background and some of the things, pretty much everything, your organization and what you believe in, and I'm going yes, 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 right down the line. I got to ask you this question too, Dan.
Okay.
Sure. Because I know you can give me a straight answer. One of the things I know that is on your list is immigration.
Yes.
And you're looking for sensible immigration reform. This is a naive question. Why can't we simply just enforce the rules we already have?
Because you have to have leadership.
Okay. I mean, because, you know, they came out, the head of the ICE came out and said, basically, we don't have enough money, so we've got to prioritize. Well, if we're looking to make government more responsive and leaner and stronger and be efficient, we can reallocate resources, right?
Well, not only that, but local law enforcement folks are more than willing to enforce the immigration laws, and they're being prohibited by the feds.
Does it make me, and I know this is a loaded question, and I know you'll say no, but I mean, does it make a person a bigot to simply say, look, I want the rules that we have in the country to be followed. I don't care where somebody's coming from, what side of the border, north, south, wherever. We just need to simply follow the rules.
Well, one of my associates in our Florida office is a Mexican by birth, and she's now an American citizen. And she said it really burns her up because she came into this country legally, earned her citizenship, and she resents the fact that people are sneaking over the border, putting a burden on all the hardworking Americans and not contributing anything really to the economy. And there's solutions. I mean, President Bush, actually, if you looked at his full proposal, was to open up the border for people with work visas, where there was an employer in a state that said, I need five people. The people would, you know, be qualified. They're not criminals, be fingerprinted, get a work visa, come and work in the United States, pay taxes. And then when the job was done, they'd go back home. But, you know, there was too much politics. They would have bashed Bush on that, too. So we're all immigrants. You know, all of our ancestors
sure.
came here somehow, you know, even if we're Indian. I argued with an Indian. When I say India, I mean from, the American Indian. I said, hey, you know, your family came over on the land bridge from Siberia, you know.
We all came over on a bridge or boat somehow.
Yeah, we all came over somehow. So I said, we're all immigrants. I said, so we don't really resent the immigrants. What we resent is unfairness and stupidity by not enforcing the laws.
Well, you know, I'm going to come back to something, and that's very good, Dan. I want to come back to something that you said at the beginning of the program, and I'm going to confess my and they're listening right. They'll be listening to the program. My parents and my family, a lot of them are teachers, and I told my mom, I said, Mom, I'm going to have on a gentleman from the Association of Mature American Citizens. This is a more conservative alternative to AARP. I said, I'm excited to have him on, and her first thing is, well, do they represent? Will they fight for the things that seniors are getting now so that they don't lose benefits or lose, you know, Social Security and the other things that they're getting now?
That's a great question. You know, that's the problem.
Her name is Connie, so tell Connie that she's going to be protected.
Connie, if we don't do something in probably 2027, people who are on Social Security are going to get an automatic reduction in their income unless we shore up Social Security. And AMAC, unlike ARP, which is frustrating to me, AMAC has a proposal now. We're submitting it to Congress and the Senate to make Social Security solvent. It could be done very easily. It wouldn't affect anybody collecting at all. And it's just common sense if they could throw out politics and do what's good for the people.
Amen. I mean, that's really what this is about, is practical solutions. We've got big challenges, and we can very clearly see. You don't have to be an economist. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to see the path that is out there. We've got all of Europe showing us some of the things that we may face with down the road if we don't take action and make some choices today.
Yes, that's correct. And
okay.
It's not, you know, you just have to have people who are willing to make the tough decisions. And the easy thing is to go out and promise things to people. For example, the president recently paid off more voters, but he promised the students, oh, well, we'll keep the interest rates low, and I'll make sure that, you know, you can extend the loans and all this kind of stuff. What he should have been saying is, there's about a quarter of you that are out of work. I'll be able to get this economy jump-started by cutting taxes, So people will hire more people and then put you back to work so you can earn so much money, you can easily pay back the loans.
There you go. Dan, we're going to have you come back on the show again. I'm out of time.
Look forward to it.
All right. AMAC, his website's www.amac.us. And Daniel Weber has been on our program today, president, founder of the Association of Mature American Citizens. Check out the website, sign up. Dan, thanks for being with us, and we appreciate you coming on. All righty.
Thank you.
Want to learn more about Real Money with David Holland? Visit us at realmoneyradio.com, where you can listen live or to the archives. You can also email us your questions, comments, or show ideas to info@realmoneyradio.com. Be sure to like us on Facebook at Real Money with David Holland.
Remember, nobody cares more about your money than you do. This has been Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening.
You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.